Jaranamadava Kunjavihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dari. Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanacharya Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dari Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivara Dari Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Yashodanandana Vajjana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Madhava Kunja Bihari
Jayam Vishnu Padam Hamsa Puri Vajakacharya Astatharashapa Sri Srimadis Divine Grace Abhay Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Prem Seka Ho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasa Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Chamakunda Radha Kundi Giri Govardhan Ki Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Sri Gangamai Ki Sri Jamnamai Ki Sri Mati Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki The Divine Grace from the Prabhupada Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Gauri Thai Ki The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nishinga Dev Ki The Lordship Sri 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 Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Devi Ki Iskandu Raman Rati Dham Ki Nitai Gaur Premanande All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 18, entitled Parikshit Cursed by a Brahmana Boy. Text 20.
Etavatalam nanu suchitena. Gunerasamya natisa nayas yanasya. It vetaran prartayato vibhirtir. Yasya grirenum jusate na vipsho. Itavatalam nanusuchitena. Gunerasamya natisa nayasya.
Gunerasamya natisa nayasya.
It vetaran pratayato vibhutir.
It vetaran pratayato vibhutir.
Yasyang rirenum jusate na vipsho. Etavatalam nanu suchitena.
Etavatalam nanu suchitena.
Gunerasamya natisa yanasya.
Gunerasamya natisa yanasya.
It vetaran pratayato vibhutir. Yas yang grirenum jusate na vipsho.
Yas yang grirenum jusate na vipsho.
Please chant.
Etavatalam nanu suchitena. Gunerasam yana tisa yana sya. Isvetaran prakayato vibhutir.
Yasyang
virenum jusate na vipsho. Etavatalam nanu suchitena. Gunerasam yana tisa yana sya. Itvetaram prayayato vibhuti. Yasyang grirenum jusate na vipsho. Etavatalam nanu suchitena. Gunerasam yana tisa yanasya. Itvetaram yakadato vibhuti. Yasyang grirenum jusate na vipsho. Etavata.
So far.
Alam.
Unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
Nanu.
Nanu.
If at all.
If at all.
Suchitena.
By description.
Gunai.
By attributes.
Asamya.
Immeasurable.
Anati Sayanasya. Of one who is on excel. Hitva, leaving aside. Itaran, others. Prarthayataha, of those who ask for. Vibhuti, favor of the goddess of fortune. Yasya, one whose. Angri, feet. Renam, dust. Jasate, serves. Anabipsho, of one who is unwilling. Translation and purport by Sabine Grace to the Siddhartha Swami Prabhupada. Translation. It is now ascertained by He, the personality of Godhead, is unlimited and therefore is none equal to Him. Consequently, no one can speak of Him adequately. Great demigods cannot obtain the favor of the goddess of fortune even by prayers. But this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although He is unwilling to have such service. Purport. The personality of Godhead, or the Parameshwar, Parabrahman, according to the Shrutis, has nothing to do. He has no equal, nor does anyone excel Him. He has unlimited potencies, and His very action is carried out systematically in His natural and perfect ways. Thus the Supreme Personality of Godhead is full in Himself, and He has nothing to accept from anyone else, including the great demigods like Lord Brahma. Others ask for the favor of the goddess of fortune, and despite such prayers, she declines to award such favors. But still, she renders service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although He has nothing to accept from her. The Personality of Godhead, in His Garbhodakasai Vishnu feature, begets Brahma, the first created person in the material world, from His navel lotus stem and not in the womb of the goddess of fortune, who is eternally engaged in His service. These are some of the instances of His complete independence and perfection. That He has nothing to do does not mean that He is impersonal. He is transcendentally so full in inconceivable potency that simply by His willing, everything is done without physical or personal endeavor. He is called, therefore, Yogeshwara, or the Lord of all mystic powers.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sarvajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vikam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakandvitam Sya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopika Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda
Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna, Vishnu Krishna Krishna, Vishnu Krishna Krishna, Sri Vrindata Vibhira Pada Pada. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasad Vipulation of Bhakti Vedanta Swami. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachami Vishesha Sanyavadi Paschacha Desh Pani. Hare Krishna. So, in this purport, it's very compact with so many topics. That ensued in quite a long discussion. But I'll try to discuss a few points based on my own understanding and limitations. So to begin with, in this pastime, the saints and sages of Naimisharanya are progressively establishing themselves. Initially, they started by trying to conquer the age of Kali by performing this 1,000-year sacrifice. And after that, they're now turning towards some authority, someone who can guide them in the right direction. So they are establishing themselves by accepting an authority who can point them in the proper direction. So Arjuna did the same thing in Bhagavad Gita. He said that, "No, I'm confused about my duty and I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please direct me accordingly. Please instruct me accordingly." So this is a system of all cultures, all spiritual cultures, a system of authority. And once one accepts that system of authority, then success is there. The goal can be reached. Like when the four Kumaras, they ended up in Vaikuntha. So then they saw Jaya and Vijaya and they thought, wait, maybe we are in the wrong place. Because initially they were impersonalists. So they look at their GPS, wait a minute, did my GPS brought me to the wrong place? And Jaya and Vijaya said, no. That's a perfect GPS that brought you to the right place. GPS means, anyone knows what GPS means? What? Yes, it means Guru Parampara system. So they were brought to the correct place. So by the Guru Parampara system, they reached the goal. They reached the goal of the Lord. So similarly, the saints and sages, with all they knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Actually, there are some cases that says that they didn't know. Like once there was a pastime with there were 3 million sages they assembled, and what was their discussion? To understand who is the personality of Godhead. So they didn't know. So they asked Lord Rama. He is the head of the universe. So they asked Lord Rama. So Lord Rama said, "I'm not sure. But I know someone who does know." So he called for his son, Narad. And then Narad says that, "I'm not only going to tell you who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, but I'm going to show you." So by his mystic powers, he presented this visual screen. You know, like now you have the virtual tours. So the virtual tours wasn't just established. It was established long ago by Narada. He established his virtual tour where he showed this little boy Krishna, this little baby Krishna. He said, this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I'll show you what his activities are. So what were those activities? He was having his relationship with Mother Yashoda. And he was trying to nurse from her breast, and she put him down. And she went to attend to the milk. And he got angry, starts, and he started breaking the pots. And what Mother Yashoda did, she tied him to the grinding mortar. And then he decided, I'm going to do something more mischievous. So he knocked over the two Arjuna trees, which were, they were very, very strong trees. So anyway, like that, he was, Narada was showing them the activities of the Personality of Godhead. And he established, so like that, these sages here at Naimisharanya, they first establish the line of authority. They first seek out, so that's the first step, is to seek out the proper authority. And so they were asking, so here they were approaching Sukadeva Goswami that, oh, you have received this knowledge from Sukadeva Goswami. And this knowledge is so potent that by such knowledge, Maharaj Parikshit was able to go back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, this is the perfect source. This is the perfect knowledge. This is, we are, that you have the proper understanding. You have the, you have gotten this knowledge from the right source. So now you can pass it down. The disciplic succession, you can now pass it down. So like that, Sukadeva Goswami, he comes to Sukadeva Goswami. Now he is relating to the saints and sages of Naimisharanya. So this establishment is one of the of foremost importance in the spiritual life of anyone. And this parampara system, it doesn't necessarily have to be the one that we are engaged in. So this morning, after Mangalarti, we heard the reading of Srila Prabhupada establishing the authority of Lord Jesus Christ, that he's a pure devotee, he's worshipable, he has direct authority to spread the message of the Lord. So, like that, it doesn't have to be only what we know. So, there can be many, many systems, many, many disciplic successions. And there are different forms of worship. I remember some time ago when I gave a quote from in class on from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur about respecting others and accepting their system. After the class, I got a few inquiries as to where that came from. They never heard it. So, both for the pleasure of myself and others here, I would like to read it. Here is what our foremost authority, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says, and this came from his book, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Instructions of Lord Chaitanya. Also, once Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur criticized the Vaishnavas in his book, Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. A very strong statement there. We criticize the Vaishnavas for disrespecting others of other denominations. Of course, we can't imitate that. You know, only one like Bhaktivinoda Thakur can do such a thing. So anyway, in his book, the Sri Shikshamrita, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, here he wrote this, and it's entitled A Saintly Prayer. When we have the occasion to be present at the place of worship of other religionists, at the time of their worship, we should stay there in a respectful mood, contemplating thus, quote, here is being worshipped my adorable highest entity, God in a different form than that of mine. Due to my practice of a different kind, I cannot thoroughly comprehend this system of others. But seeing it, I am feeling a greater attachment for my own system. I bow down with prostration before his emblem. As I see here, and I offer my prayer to my Lord, who has adopted this different emblem, that he may increase my love towards him. So this is a very, very powerful and important quote from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur of respect for other systems, understand that they are different lines of authority, that our system is one line of authority, is not like the only line of authority. And this is what Lord Chaitanya gave us, so this is what we are following. So, just a couple of days ago, my daughter ordered a book for me. We just received it, called Sri Bhaktamala. I don't know any of you familiar with that book. Anyway, it's a late print by Purna Pragya Prabhu, or renowned scholar in this field. And this, so Bhakta means devotees, and Mala means a garland. So Bhakta Mala is a garland of devotees. And these devotees are from, this book is about the glimpse into the life of different devotees from different sampradayas, not necessarily our sampradaya. And very great, powerful devotees that are not very well known or didn't make it to the Bhagavatam or to the Chaitanya Charitamrita like that, but they are very great and powerful devotees. So this book was actually originally compiled. It was instructed to be compiled in 1666. And about 100 years after, in 1766, that's when it was actually compiled. And then somehow or the other, this devotee got a hold of it and he translated it to English, so now it's available as a dedication to his Srila Prabhupada. So very, very important to understand the line that we're coming down, and there are different authorized lines. So here the sages are first of all establishing. And so now, in response to that, like it says that a disciple should investigate his aspiring spiritual master. He should investigate his guru, understand that he's authentic and has all the qualities and standard as described in scripture. And similarly, the guru should investigate the disciple, that yes, he's qualified. So that's before initiation. After initiation, the disciple no longer has that authority to investigate the guru. He, at that point, he should fully accept. In other words, he should do all his homework before. But the guru, on the other hand, even after initiation, still investigates the disciple, still inquire and still learn about him, and so he can give the proper direction. So like that, the sages, they have established that now we want to hear from our authority present, Sutta Goswami. So the first thing that Sutta Goswami says, and that's where we came to our this verse today, that he's establishing the authority and the position of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So the very first thing that he's doing, he's establishing. And this establishment came with some very vivid description of his personality. And the first thing he says that the Lord is unlimited and that there is no one equal to him. So when we look at the past few verses, we understand that the sages, they're asking Sutta Goswami to describe the glories of the personality of Godhead. for they can see in his personality he's so situated because that's all he does, that's all his service, to glorify the Lord. But then they're saying that, Sutta Goswami is saying that the Lord is unlimited and there is no one equal to him. So, first of all, the word unlimited, what does that mean? It means that there is no limit to his qualities, his characteristics, his personality. So there's no limit to it. So we are limited and the Lord is unlimited. Therefore, he's hinting that it is not possible for a limited to describe the unlimited. So it's not possible for Sutta Goswami or any even great devotees, even great personality like Lord Rama, even his foremost expansion, Ananta Shesh, with thousands of hoods and towns and completely versed, he still doesn't have the ability to describe all the qualities of the Lord. So that's what unlimited means. And actually his qualities are such that even he himself becomes amazed sometimes. Previously we described how the Lord was lying on an antichage contemplating, and Lakshmi Devi approached him and asked what happened, that he looks dejected. And he said, no, I'm just amazed at my own energy, at how my own energy works, and that by simply having the living entities follow in this path of guidance from the scriptures, and especially like the Bhagavad Gita, that the energy is so potent that they become so qualified devotees, that even he is amazed. That's one of the reasons why he came in the combined form of Radha and Krishna's Lord Chaitanya, to try to enjoy and more so understand his own energies. It says that the devotee can understand the Lord's energy more than the Lord by being in devotional service. So like that, the very first thing, he's saying that the Lord is unlimited and no one can... So it's not practical for one to describe all his qualities. But one should do so to the best of his ability. And also that one can develop spiritually and to the point where it's good enough for him to go back home, back to Godhead. So that's the important thing. Trying to know everything about the Lord, and that's not possible. But trying to know enough so that we can be qualified, then that's good enough for us. So then the second thing he's saying here is that not only is unlimited, but no one is equal to him. So, in other words, there is only one unlimited personality. There are not more than one. Yes, he has different forms, but it's one person. So, if you had more persons that are unlimited, or at least described like unlimited, then that would be a conflict of interest. Just like last night, yesterday morning. yeah, my daughter was reading one part of her schoolwork that she's doing, where Julius Caesar he dominated the empire, and he wanted to establish himself as supreme, because previous to that, they had like a board system. No one was in final authority. Many temples in Islam, we have like that, a board system. But he wanted to do away with that, and he wanted to dominate, so he wanted to be the prime personality, he wanted to be that head. So, but in reality, Krishna is the head, so he's that unlimited personality. And not only that he's unlimited, Srila Prabhupada described here that he's also independent. How many devotees here have a problem with that, that the Lord is independent? I know I do. Because we always want to feel that we are also independent, that we want to restrict the Lord in certain ways. Like, for example, what I just read about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Like, many people want to say, well, okay, the Lord cannot appear in a Christian era or in a Muslim colony or something like that. That he cannot do that, or some say that God can't come to this world, that God has no form. So they're trying to limit the Lord. They're trying to say that the Lord is not independent. Like sometimes when people hear our description in Bhagavatam of how the Lord comes in so many different forms. Yeah. Matsa, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha Dev, Vamana, all in so many different forms that the Lord comes in. They're saying, no, that's not, you know, that's not possible, that can't happen. The Lord, it's not possible for him to do that. So they're putting limitations. They're saying, well, he's not independent enough to do that. But here, the very first thing that Srila Prabhupada is establishing in his purport is that the Lord is independent. That means he can do whatever he wants to do. He can act, he can appear in any form, any way, shape, or form. He can be as large as the largest object. He can be as small as the smallest object. There's no limit to his independence. He can act in any way. And here he describes that that he doesn't depend on anyone for anything. He doesn't depend on the demigods for offering. He doesn't depend on even his own consort, Lakshmi Devi, who serves him 24/7, never leaves his side. He doesn't really need that service. That's how Srila Prabhupada translates this here. Yeah. He says here, great demigods cannot obtain the favor of the goddess of fortune, even by prayers. But this very goddess renders service unto the Lord, although he is unwilling to have such service. So in other words, she's rendering that service not for the Lord's benefit, but for her benefit. And similarly, this is our position in Krishna consciousness. We are offering service not because the Lord needs service, but because we need to be engaged in that service. We need the benefit. So this is the important point. So, and he doesn't depend on that. And then he gives, Srila Prabhupada gives this description here that Lord Vishnu in the form of the Garbhadakasai Vishnu, he gave birth to Lord Rama from his this lotus stem that sprouted from his navel. And he did that without the help of Lakshmi Devi. Remember once somebody asked Srila Prabhupada about his children. And he said, yes, look how many children I have. I have so many. And I get them all without a wife. So that's independence. So like that, Krishna also created all these living entities, and Lakshmi Devi wasn't involved. So similarly, our position is that we need to serve the Lord. Like this morning when I was on the altar doing Govindam Aarti, and all the doors are open, and the blind is wide open, the altar is cold, And I was thinking of, you know, we need to get heat in here, we should. And then I can kind of remember that, okay, the Lord doesn't need that service, but we need to provide that service and comfort. It's for our benefit that we need to do so. And sometimes he would even behave as though he's dependent on his devotee by indicating or asking them to provide some service, just so that the devotee benefits. Like very lately in one of our temples in India, there is one old Mataji who is living in the ashram. And in the middle of the night, she woke up. It was in the winter time. And she went and she woke up the brahmacharis, who were the pujaris. And she told them, you have to go and close the window. That the deity said they're cold. That the window is open. So then the brahmacharis were thinking, you know, she's never anywhere close to the altar room. She's never anywhere close there. How she knows this? And she said, yes, you know, the Lord dreamt her and told her it's open. And when they went to take a shower in the middle of the night, went back there, and yes, indeed, the window was open. So that doesn't make him dependent on the devotee. He likes to reciprocate with his devotees. Yeah, he reciprocates. And that book I was just talking about, Sri Bhaktamala, in the introduction, it says that the Lord likes to reciprocate with all his devotees, and that's how he enjoys pleasure here. He takes pleasure by reciprocating with his devotees. Not that he has to do it, but he likes to do it. You know, there is a difference between one having to do something and one likes to do something. So we shouldn't mix the two. And sometimes he likes to play with his devotees. Sometimes he likes to act in all different ways, and then we want to restrict that. Like, one time, there's this very famous story of Sanatan Goswami walking in Vrindavan, in Braj, and he saw this one Brijvasi Brahmana, Mohandas Chaube. He was in his courtyard in front, and it's all sand and dirt. And there is the Gopal deity and his sons. His little children are playing with the deity, throwing sand on the deity and having a good time. And he immediately chastised Mohandas Chaube. He said, you can't, that is an offense to the deity. You can't do that. And you have to learn to respect and worship him properly. And that night, Gopal dreamt Sanatan Goswami. He said, I was having such a good time and now you messed the whole thing up. So now I want to come with you. So then Sanatan Goswami says, well, I'm a mendicant, I have nothing to offer you. All I'm getting sometimes is like dry chapati. He said, no, that's okay, I'll take that. He said, are you sure? He said, are you sure you're gonna take that and you're not gonna come and ask, well, you know, can I have some salt or some sugar to go with the chapati? He said, no, I won't ask for anything, I just want to be with you. So Sanatan Goswami was, his home was under a tree. So he would tie Gopal up on this tree with a rope. He just sling him up there and that's stay there. So every day he get alms, people give him dry chapati. He would make an offering to Gopal and he would eat. So one day, Gopal says, every day you offer me dry chapati, can you at least put some salt? He said, I told you not to come with me. Yes. And then there are more pastimes that went on after that. So there's another pastime with Ramanujacharya that it says that the Lord liked to glorify his devotees as much as the devotee liked to glorify the Lord. So in Sri Rangam, every day they would have the deity of Lord Ram and they would circumambulate it, they do parikram around. And a lot of people would be assembling. So in those days, the devotees were so pure people that the deities used to personally talk to them. So one day the deity asked, he said, is Ramanujacharya here? They said, yes. He said, well, I want you to tell him to leave. I want him to leave right now. So they said, wow, because Ramanujacharya, he's the most prominent devotee. He's the most prominent figure. And what's wrong that the Lord is saying that he should leave? He said, I want him gone. So after a few minutes, he asked, he said, has he gone? He said, yes, he and his party, they're all, you know, they got dejected and they left. He said, now, instead of singing my glories, I want you to sing the glories of Ramanujacharya. He said, today I want to hear the glories of my devotee, but if he was here, he would object. But now he's not here to object, so therefore, sing his glories. So that's, you know, that's one aspect of the Lord that they like to reciprocate in that way. Another time, Ramanujacharya went from South India, went to North India, so he went to Jagannath Puri. And when he went there, he saw this so-called low standard of worship with the Puri Pandas. Their standard is poor and in his eyes. And he objected, so he went to the king, he said, no, we have to change this, that come tomorrow morning, assemble everyone, and I'll teach you the proper standard to worship Lord Jagannath, that this is bad what you're doing. So he arranged a time, so next morning, everyone assembled. The king was there. No, the king wasn't there, but all the others assembled. And time for Ramanujacharya to show up, and he's not showing up. So they sent a message to the king. Says they don't know what to do, that they're here, time is going, he's not showing up. Then the king turned up and he said, don't worry, continue your worship, that he's not here. Then the king told what dream he had the night before, that Lord Jagannath went to Ramanujacharya and said, who are you to disturb my worship? That I'm very satisfied with my devotee. And he airlifted him from North India all the way back to South India. So then Ramanujacharya woke up in the morning, he was back in South India. And he told the king that, tell the devotees to continue. So that's the Lord independence. He can do whatever he wants to do. That he's fully independent. He doesn't depend on anyone. And if we understand the Lord in that way, then we would understand our insignificant position, or I should say my insignificant position, and thus we would be able to have full respect for all forms of the Lord and other forms of devotees and other devotees who are worshipping the Lord in different ways, shape and form. And even the Vaishnav, especially the Vaishnav devotees who we are among daily, that sometimes we would see them in activities that may look different from what we are doing, and we may have some questions about that. Of course, we shouldn't be naive, but we should understand that everyone has a relationship with the Lord. And that relationship can sprout in different way, shape, and form. So these are some of the independent qualities. There are many more points mentioned here, but it's going to take a lot of time to go them through. Here we also have the pastime of Bhamsidas Babaji. He was akin to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. As a matter of fact, he termed himself as a disciple of Gaura Kishore Das Babaji. He wasn't formally initiated as far as we know. Gaura Kishore Das Babaji only had one initiated disciple, and that was Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. But Bhamsidas Babaji was a Shiksha disciple. And he had a lot of strange activities. Like, he would always have his bead bag at his right hand. He would never take out his hands from his bead bag. He was doing his japa always. And with his left hand, sometimes he would take the deities. Some say that he would tie them with a rope, or some say he would tie them in a basket and tie a rope to the basket. And he would throw them into the river and says, and he hold the rope, says, you take a bath, you enjoy, but I have to chant my rounds. And then he would pull them back up and he'll put them back in his little kutir, and people, whoever bring offering for him, fruit and whatever, he'll just put the whole basket in front of them and says, you have nothing to do, so you just enjoy. You eat and I have to go out and beg alms. And when he come back, sometimes the basket would be empty, like all the skins would be there the day he's actually eaten. And it would describe, it's described that he would spend sometimes months on end, 2-3 months. He would, and he always had his little deity, something he put them in his palm and he would walk around with them. And he would have conversations with the deity. So day and night, something for 2-3 months. He would laugh and they would talk. He wouldn't sleep, he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't go to nature calls, nothing like that. That's like the relationship. So the Lord was reciprocating with him in that way. So much so that when the disciples of Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj wanted to go and visit him to see his activities, their Guru Maharaj stopped them. He says, no, don't, because you're not qualified to understand the activities of Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji. That you can easily become Sahaji as you can try to imitate. It's better you stay here and hear about it. So like that. So anyway, there are other pastimes of the Lord and his devotees and his act of independence, that he can take up any form he wants, he can do whatever. And when we as devotees, we understand that the Lord is independent and that we worship the Lord as an independent personality, that we benefit. And that's the whole idea of Krishna consciousness, to engage for our benefit in spiritual life. So I would stop here. So just to summarize what we talked about the Guru Parampara system, the GPS system, that's the right way of accepting authority and establishing authority. Then we talked about the Lord being unlimited, there's no one equal to him, and he's also independent. Then we give many examples of devotees who have different relationships with the Lord in reciprocation. And that no one should be envious of that relationship. Actually, a few verses before, it's stated here, right in the verse itself, Srila Prabhupada established, he wrote that Maharaj Parikshit was angry and envious at the sage Shamika Rishi, right there in the verse. When I read it, I was kind of shocked. So, he didn't say a whole lot about it in the purport, but that's how he translated. So, that's in that anger that he put the snake around his neck. But on the other hand, Maharaj Parikshit was such a great personality that no one should take these little things as offenses. It's stated that by Rupa Goswami, that in the, he stated this in his Nectar Devotion, Chapter 6, that a devotee never has to go through this chitta process, this atonement process, that if by chance a devotee does something wrong or have a fall down, by simply continuing their practice of devotional service and worship, that's good enough. So like that. So anyway, I would stop here, and if anyone has any comments, yes, Mother Such as Sarah?
Yeah, I just have a question, because in the beginning you were saying that about the how Bhaktivinoda Thakur appreciated my whole different.
Okay, I think the microphone is on. You want to repeat that now?
In the beginning, when you were saying about Bhaktivinoda Thakur respected all religions or something?
Yeah,
so. We were reading Chaitanya Charitamrita yesterday, and in one purport, Prabhupada says that the followers of Lord Chaitanya, now there's like so many, there was actually 12 different, I forget all the names, so there's this and these, like bowlers and something. Anyway, so how would we consider them? Because Prabhupada said they like all kind of bogus branches of followers of Lord Chaitanya. So do you just like, you know,
yes,
respect
them? There is a difference between accepting them and following them. There's a huge difference. Just like let's give a gross example. This is very, we can say, graphic. That a woman, she has her husband. She accepts her husband, but she doesn't accept other people as her husband. With all she understands that other people will accept other men as their husband. So she know that that's a fact that they established that people would do so. But it doesn't mean that she has to do it. She accepts her authority. And on the other hand is that we understand that all processes are stepping stones to the right process of Bhakti Yoga. But some, like Srila Prabhupada says, like all the other processes, you can consider them like staircases, but Bhakti Yoga is like the elevator that really sprouts you ahead, brings you right up, and gives you the conclusion like what we have here, we who came from all strange backgrounds, all non-Vedic backgrounds, we got immediate conclusion that Krishna is Tu Bhagwan Swayam. That's the first thing Prabhupada gave us. Yeah, many people don't know that. But so they would try different processes, they would engage, and some of them would be in ritualistic processes and so forth. So sometimes if they want to try to go against our process or try to cut our process down, that's when we have to stand up and fight, we have to stand up and defend. But we're not saying that what they're doing is that. What we understand is it's not the highest level. Just like the university student, he understand much more than 1 + 1 = 2. So the nursery school student, that's all he would understand, 1 + 1 = 2. The university student would understand that, but he can explain it so much that the nursery student cannot explain. So similarly, there might be sometimes, you know, Prabhupada would get heavy with these people and these different religionists and so forth. But it's not with any envy, and that's very, very important. Like it says that there are two types of criticism. One is constructive criticism and the other is envious criticism. Envious criticism is when you just envy someone, you don't care. You just envy them, you just want to break them down. Constructive criticism is when you see somebody needs improvement and you want to help them to improve. You want to help to bring them up. Like the example is there of the two ways that we can deal with, even with each other. One way is called the crow way and the other is called the dolphin way. So the crow's way of dealing with each other is that if one of them got sick, got weak, the others would pounce on it and try to kill it, suppress it, get rid of it. But the dolphin, when one is weak, all the others come from under and support it and bring it up and try to revive and push him forward. So that's our process, the dolphin way of trying to help everyone. So that's, and sometimes in doing so, we have to, and especially ones in authority, sometimes they may have to criticize or appears to be criticizing or chastise. Like once Srila Prabhupada was, he was chastising his disciple. I forgot who it was. It was really heavy. And Prabhupada showed a real angry face. So a day or two after, this devotee came to Prabhupada and was apologizing that, oh, I caused you so much pain, I caused you to get angry, and I give you so much trouble. Then Prabhupada said something that shocked him. Prabhupada had tears in his eyes and said, Actually, I wasn't chastising. I was praying to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, I cannot help them. You please do. So that was his move. Not like that. So these are just some thoughts from different angles. I don't know exactly what your topic was because you weren't able to give me the quotes. But I get the idea that, you know, that from others, yeah, like that. Does that satisfy?
Okay, and there was one other thing that I thought about during your talk was that independent, that Krishna's independent, and you, did you say that you thought you were independent?
No, I'm saying that not like me, who are dependent.
No, because I thought you, when you put up your hand, what did you say then? You said that Krishna, something about Krishna being independent, and
yeah.
Who thinks that they're independent?
Oh no, what I'm saying that okay, what I said that sometimes we think that we are independent.
Oh, okay.
And then I correct him and said,
okay,
that I think that I am independent. Because I cannot speak for you and others.
Yeah.
You may all be convinced that you are dependent, but I'm not convinced that I'm dependent. I still have a lot of conviction that I'm that maybe I can be independent, I can do things on my own.
Yeah, I know, but that just made me think we're so dependent on everything. And we're dependent on the sun because...
Yeah.
Without the sun, we'd just be in total darkness. We're dependent on the demigods who send in the rain. We're dependent on so many.
Right, we are so dependent, and even we are obligated. Rupa Goswami says that from the time we are born, we are obligated. We are also obligated even to the sages and great devotees who wrote the scriptures, that we are obligated to them, that they have given us some light. So there are so many obligations that we have. So, anyway, yeah. Thank you for those 2 cents pitching in. Anything else? Anyway, seeing that there is nothing else, we can stop here. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Thank you.